Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3.
Got it. There you go. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Exodus chapter 3 and starting in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priests of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush and looked. Behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Well, the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw, he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He said, draw not nigh thither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, from the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Moses said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know that their sorrows, and come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land of the good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Father, Lord, I pray tonight as we look to your word, God, that you'd give ears to hear. I thank you for your word, which is established forever. Thank you, Lord, we can trust in it. Thank you, God, that we can read it, we can memorize it, we can meditate on it, Lord. We can learn from it on a regular basis. And I pray, God, today that you'd help us, Lord, as we look to your word to see the truths of it. And Lord, help us as we look at the life of Moses in this particular event. And Lord, glean some things that we should not do. The excuses often that we make in our lives not to serve you. Father, I pray that through your spirit, through your word, you'd speak. And again, if there be one in this room who does not know you, dear Father, does not know that your son, Jesus Christ, is their personal Savior, that Father, you would draw that one to yourself before it is too late. For there will be a day for each one of us where there'll be no excuse and it will be too late to trust in you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're thinking about this passage of Scripture a couple of weeks ago. I've just finished reading the book of Genesis this morning in my personal devotions, and many of you who are reading through your Bible, you've probably come to about this place, or maybe a little further. But I was reading here in Exodus about God's people, that under, of course, Joseph, eventually there came a time where the kings and the rulers, the pharaohs of Egypt, knew not Joseph. As you study this, God's people, Israel, the Hebrews, were in bondage to Egypt for about 400 years. But eventually, God, in his sovereignty, hears the cries of his people and decides to raise up a deliverer. And as you well know, studying Exodus, that deliverer would be Moses. Moses, though a Hebrew Israelite, was raised in Egypt. And one day, of course, he came to a situation where he saw one of his brethren being mistreated. He slew one of the Egyptians. And because of that, he fled the land and ultimately went to a place called the land of the Midianites. And there in the land of the Midianites, he met a man by Jethro and one of his daughters he decided to marry. And there in the land of Midian, he tended sheep for 40 years. He was a sheep herder for 40 years. Imagine that. One day, as we just read, he was herding his sheep and he saw a fire up in the towards the mountain. He looked, went towards that, and God spoke to him through that burning bush and said, Take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And began to speak to Moses about what he wanted Moses to do for him. And unfortunately, instead of automatically saying, yes, God, I will do exactly what you want me to do, Moses then begins to give several excuses why he did not want to serve God. Someone said, an excuse has been defined as the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. This morning, we're going to look at four excuses Moses gives why he cannot serve God. Look at verse 11. The first is, who am I? Look at verse 11. And the Lord, I'll start with verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, my Lord, I'm not, I'll start in verse 3, excuse me, chapter 3, verse 11. Or verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send to thee Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11, chapter 3. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, I'm a nobody. Who am I? Why would you want me to go? And Moses was right. One of my great mentors said, outside of God, we're nothing but a zero with a rim rubbed out. Really, that's true. Isaiah 64, verse 6, we're all the unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. You may think this morning, I'm a pretty good person. Well, oftentimes in life, you compare yourself to somebody else. And compared to somebody else, you may be pretty good. But when you and I compare ourselves to God, we are as filthy rags. The Bible says about us in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It is impossible for you to get to heaven on your own by doing anything. Absolutely impossible. You say, well, I came to church today. Isn't that good enough? Friends, if you could do anything to get to heaven on your own by doing good deeds, Jesus Christ didn't have to come and die on the cross to shed his blood for you. We're all nothing. We were born sinners. Adam chose to sin in the Garden of Eden. And after that, that sin nature was passed down to every one of us. All of us are sinners outside of God, and there's no hope in of ourselves. It says there in verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And then a life of sin that we live, we face a holy God. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. If a person's born in this world, a world of sin, and lives a life of a sinner, and chooses not to accept the grace of God that he has bestowed by allowing his dear son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and pay for our sins, if you don't accept that wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life, there's condemnation on our lives in a real place called hell that we will go to. Dear friend, you may say, I'm a nobody. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are somebody. God sees you. Even in your sinful condition, he loves you and knows that you have great potential for him. You're a child of the King. You're a joint heir with Christ, a brother in Christ, a disciple of the Lord. You're a Christian. Dear friend, let me remind you, no one is born saved on their way to heaven. It's only by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and a relationship with him. Today, we're not talking about a religion. Religion sends men to hell. I was religious. I thought, well, man, I go to church. I do all these things. But that was just religion. I don't have religion this morning. I'm not preaching about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. And that's the difference between heaven and hell, a relationship. And once you know Christ as your personal Savior, you can have that relationship with him. Moses said, I'm a nobody. But he became somebody because he chose to obey God. God said to him, I will be with you. Look at verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. And certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token to you. I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God upon this mountain. You see, God established a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would be with them and multiply their seed forever. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 2, I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and talked with him and saying, for as me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be my father of many nations. So he established a relationship with Abraham, then went to Isaac, went to Jacob and Joseph, and ultimately all these people in Egypt. But in the New Testament, Jesus promised his disciples, those who followed him, that even though he was leaving, he would not leave them comfortless. I love the passage in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Today, we as believers don't have to worry about where is God. God, the Holy Spirit, once we accept him, is in us and leads us and guides us and comforts us. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him? Maybe say, I'm a nobody. But with Jesus Christ, you're a somebody. I read about a book by a man by the name of Stephen Callahan, who is a book called Adrift. He was adrift on the Atlantic Ocean for 76 days and ventured 1,800 miles. He said, someone asked him, how did you survive those 76 days? He said one word, hope. Hope. Dear friends, the only hope in this world that there is not in your wallet. That if I can find that, I'll pull it out. If your hope is in this, you're lost. If your hope is in government, you're trouble. And maybe even more trouble coming this week. If your hope is in you or your intelligence or your intellect or your education or anything that you have of yourselves, you're in trouble. Our hope, the only hope we have, is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our hope. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friends may fail you, and they will. Family will forsake you, and they will. Funds will leave you, and it does. Fun will flee you, and it shall. But Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will never leave you nor forsake you, friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know him this morning? To know Jesus, you have everything. But to not know Jesus Christ, literally, you have nothing. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You say, I got this, I got this, I got that. What does those things matter if you cannot keep them? Because you and I, friends, are going to die. And none of us in this room, myself included, can tell you how long you're going to live. But I'm going to tell you for sure, you're going to die one day. And the things that you have in this world, they're all going to be gone. Do you have hope? The only hope there is in this world is Jesus Christ. His excuse first was, who am I? But his second excuse you see there in verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said, God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they were saying to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? See, Moses' second excuse was, God, I don't know your name. He was asking Moses, who are you? Moses couldn't say, if I go to the children of Israel and say, hey, I heard a voice out of a bush. That would kind of be strange. Or if I said the fire spoke to me, that would be weird. If I go to Israel, I must have a name. Isn't it interesting? In the New Testament, Saul asked the same question. Saul, who would be called Paul, in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You don't have to wonder who God is. Who is God? God himself has revealed himself and the real person, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he hath made the world. When you see Jesus, you see God. Not only has God revealed himself through his Son, the Word, God revealed himself through the Scriptures, the words of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the night day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Dear friends, you know, we're not trusting in a voice or a voice in our head. Our faith, our trust is in a real person. Our faith and trust is in the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. People throughout the ages have tried to burn this book. They've tried to shun this book. They've kicked it out of schools. They've kicked it out of the homes. But dear friend, it is from the beginning and it will be there at the end. It is forever settled in heaven. That's why this morning I'm not preaching some fable. I'm not preaching some myth. I'm preaching the word of God that lives forever. And I hope by the grace of God you live by it. Said, is God just some voice? Heard a story about a guy who never been ice fishing. He decided to get all his paraphernalia and go out to do some ice fishing, and he started chopping on some ice. And he heard a voice that says, there's no fish there. So he thought that was strange, so he moved his paraphernalia to another place and started chopping in ice. And he said, and somebody said, there's no fish there. Then he started to look up and said, God, is that you? He said, no, I'm not God. I'm the skating rink manager. There's no fish there. What did God say? God said, I am that I am. Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say in the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The great I am is Jehovah. Jehovah is the self-existing one, the eternal one. We as human beings have many needs, don't we? We need food. We need companionship. We need shelter. We need football. I mean, we need, maybe not so much. But Jehovah is and will ever will be. He does not need anything to exist. He simply is. God is. Psalm 83, verse 18, the men that may know me, that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the most high over all the earth. Isaiah 26, verse 4, trust the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Today we can't accomplish anything in and of ourselves. It's only through God, through Jesus Christ. John 6, 63, it is the spirit that quickens the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Can you accomplish anything with God? You can accomplish anything that you ought to do. Philippians 1, 6, being confident is the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Bob Jones Sr. said, you can do anything you ought to do. In me, I cannot, but in Christ, I can. Moses said, who am I? Secondly, he said, who sent me? Thirdly, the third excuse is, they won't believe me. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. They won't believe me. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses is saying, where's the proof? Not only, who am I? How can I do this? Or who sent me? Who's the one actually sending me to do this job? But they won't believe me if I tell them all these things. Moses is running out of excuses. And God asked, and he asked God, how will they believe me? So oftentimes in life, we may say, Lord, I'm not sure about this. And we give an excuse. Sometimes in life, we try to tell other people, like we did yesterday, about the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to share the good news of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we did yesterday. And people say, well, man, I can't make this happen. Dear friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's not our duty to make it happen, but simply to share it. To share the word of God and tell others the power of the gospel is in the word of God itself. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divide of sunder of soul and spirit and joints of marrow and discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans 1:6, what did Paul say? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul's saying the power is not in me. It's not in my eloquence of speech. It's not in my methodology. It's not in how I do it. The power is in Jesus Christ and the gospel itself. Dear friends, as we go through the highways and hedges of this world, share the gospel. Tell others of what Jesus Christ has done for you. God said, what is in your hand? Moses, there who'd been tending the sheep for 40 years, all he had was something in his hand, a rod. Look at verse 2. The Lord said to him, what is in thy hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground. He cast it to the ground and became a serpent. Moses fled before it. Amen, brother. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. Some of you would not do that, I know. And he put forth his hand and he caught it and became a rod in his hand. And they made believe that the Lord thy God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. What did Moses have? He had what he'd been using for 40 years, a rod. See, a rod's not a whole lot. It's small, it's just a small thing. But it's what he had. God will take what you have and he will use it for his glory. He'll take what you have. You say it's small. It's insignificant. It's what God wants to take. You say, man, I have just a little bit of talent in this area. I have a little bit of gifts in this little area. I can do just a little bit. But whatever you have, allow God to take it and use for his glory. And he will. I told you about my dear friend, Bill Sikora, who passed away just a few weeks ago. 90-some years of age, 92 years of age. He's walking down the streets of Fort Myers, Florida, telling people about Jesus. And what did he have in his hand? Some would say a stick, and he would say, no, no, it's not a stick. It's a staff. And then he began to talk about Moses. And then he began to talk about how God worked in his life and how God saved his life and how God had brought him from just a street kid in New Jersey now to a blessed entrepreneur being used greatly from God at 90-some years of age. And he gave all the glory and all the praise to God. All he had was a stick. What do you have today you can use for God? Talents, abilities. My pastor, at 27 years of old, Bill Lytle had leukemia. Because of that, has a blood disorder, even to this day. Instead of getting bitter and asking God why, he just said, God, I'm going to take what you have given me and I'm going to use it for God. What do you have? Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's pain. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's hurt. Whatever God has given you, good or bad, give it to him. And he will use it. You can use sickness, loss, difficulty, or trial, but give it to you. Give it to him. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed to be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, but the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You've gone through a difficulty. You've gone through a trial. God has comforted you. And you can go to somebody who's gone through trouble or problems, good, bad, and say, God has comforted me. Now, by the grace of God, let me comfort you. That is your rod? What do you have that you can use to draw people closer to God? That was the third excuse. Who am I? Who sent me? What if they don't believe me? And the fourth excuse this morning is, why me, God? Look at verse 10. Why me, God? And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hereunto, for since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow tongue. He says, Lord, I can't speak. I can't get up there in front of all Egypt and Israel and tell them all these things, because I'll get up there and I'll stutter. I'll bumble, I'll fumble, I'll fail. And oftentimes I hear people say, I can't. Preacher, I can't. I can't get in front of people. Well, the greatest fears that people have is getting in front of other people. I know it well. I know it well. Some will say, well, I'm just self-conscious. I learned that self-conscious is really consciousness of self. We get so consumed sometimes about what people will think about us. But let me tell you, as someone who's been getting in front of people for quite a while now, if I focus on what people think of me, I will not do what God wants me to do. But if I get consumed with the message that God has given to me, the message matters more than me. And I become the message. The message is more important. John the Baptist, people said, are you the one? Are you the one that's coming? No, he said, I must decrease. He must increase. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. Oh, you can't speak. Oh, God has something for that. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. He said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, the hand of him who thou wilt send. Right, God said, I made the mouth. I made all of you. If I created you, I know you, and you can do this. Jesus left everything in heaven to declare a message of repentance and gave his life for us. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so more important than the vessel that gives it. A week from last Thursday, I drove up to see my dad just for a little bit. And also, it was the 50th anniversary of my first mentor. His name was Dr. Nicky Chavers. Dr. Nicky Chavers was born right not too far down the way in Pensacola, Florida. And he was just a young man, a young, talented boy that could sing. But he was so scared of singing in front of people, even in his own home, that he would climb underneath his parents' mattress and hang on to the springs and sing from there. Because he did not want to be seen as a singer. But he got over all that. For 50 years, as some of you saw this last summer, he began to put on dramas with a theme of making the Bible come alive. We saw that this last summer in the life of Paul the Apostle. And by the grace of God, we'll see it again July 4th of this year. But his whole goal was, I want to take what's in here and I want to show people what it's like through drama. And it threw that ministry that's now 50 years old. Thousands and thousands of people have come to Christ because many a person will be invited to church and they wouldn't come hear a preacher. But if you say, hey, we're going to go see a play or a drama about the Bible, they would come, they'd hear about Jesus Christ, and they would be saved. Dr. Nicky Chavers influenced my life, and his wife influenced my life. My senior year, I went to the Academy of Arts Christian School. About midway through the year, his wife said to me, I want you to play a part in a play. I said, a play? A drama? She said, yeah. I said, I thought dramas were for sissies. I play football, I wrestle, track, basketball, but drama? Drama? She said, I want you to play the part of King James. I said, I know King Kong, but I don't know King James. And so I played the part of King James in this play called Adventure Almost Desperate, about how basically King James, he persecuted the Christians, kings of England. They flew. They had to go to Holland and ultimately to the United States, or become the United States. But for the first time in my life, I realized that God could use Marty Moon, just a rebel teenager from Taylor, South Carolina, to present a message to people to glorify him. I thought to myself, you know, if God could use me in this, what else does God want to use my life for? Dear friends, God wants to use your life. God wants to use your life. For 50 years, God used the Academy of Arts and is still using the ministry. It's influenced thousands. It's only because God used a small kid from Pensacola, Florida, who said yes because he had talents and abilities and he could have used them for the world. And he was tempted and encouraged to use them for the Lord, for the world, but he used them for the Lord. You and I are going one or two directions today. Your life and the life that you've been given is a gift. You're using it for yourself right now to build your kingdom, your houses, your lands, your things. Or you're living your life for the very one who's given you breath. That's Jesus Christ. Who are you living it for? This life that you have, that's going to be over someday, maybe even today. Are you using it for you, your resume, your stuff, your things, only to see that castle someday like a crashing wave destroy that beautiful, intricate castle on the sand, which it will come down? But dear friend, if you build your life with Jesus and give your life for him, you'll be setting up things in heaven that cannot perish. The moth can't hurt it. The thief can't steal it. Even cold can't hurt it. Even COVID can't hurt it. It lasts forever. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? Psalm 71, verse 17. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hereunto I've declared thy wondrous works. Moses gave four excuses. Who am I? I'm a nobody. Who sent me? They won't believe me. And why me, God? Four excuses. Excuses. We all have them. Dear friend, I pray that you won't use excuses in your life to stand in the way of what God wants to do in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and shed his blood for us so we could have everlasting life. I'm so thankful at 17 years of age, though I gave many excuses not to become a Christian, someone asked me the question, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And that same question I asked to you, dear friends, who are sitting here with me this morning, are you 100% sure if you? I didn't say 50, I didn't say 60, I didn't say 70. I said 100% sure. God forbid you were to get out of this place and get up on 39th or 75 and you're driving down the way and you're in some horrific accident. God forbid. The moment after your last heartbeat, where would you be? The Bible says you'll be in one or two places. Heaven. The Bible says for those who know him, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But dear friend, I say this in kindness and in love. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you do not have a relationship with him, the moment after your last breath, after your last heartbeat, you will forever, ever be in a place, a real place called hell. 17 years of age, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I knew one thing. I didn't want to go to hell. And dear friend, God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, a perfect, perfect human being who was all man and all God, who lived a perfect life. Then about the age of 33, He went to the cross and shed his blood. And the reason why he shed his blood is to pay for your sins. We can't pay for them, not our good works, not money, not anything we can do to pay for our sins. Nothing we can do, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm so thankful that at 17 years of age, I heard that I was a sinner, and the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ. And at 17 years of age, I simply prayed, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And today, I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ alone, who shed his blood, so that one day when I die, I'll be in heaven forever. Maybe you're here this morning, and you say, preacher, to be 100% sure, I'm not 100% sure. If I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not 100%. I want to be, but to be honest, totally honest, before God, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to be. Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest this morning? Anybody be honest? I won't point you out. I won't say your name, but I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Christian? What excuse are you going to give to God? Many in this room have talent. You have abilities. You have gifts. Every one of you has something. You're not too old. You're not a nobody. You're not less educated. You can't say I don't have the ability enough. No, everybody in this room has a rod, has something you can use for God. What excuse are you saying right now that you're not giving it to him? Oh, I can't because of, you know, I can't. Man, what if Moses would have said that? We wouldn't know Moses today. He did say it, but eventually God convinced him that he was wrong. And I'm praying this morning that God would convince you that you're wrong as well. Preacher, I have gifts, I have talents, but I'm not using them for God. Would you pray for me that I would? Anybody be honest this morning? I have gifts and talents, but I've not been using for God. I could be singing in the choir. I could be playing specials. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. I have talents and abilities, but I haven't given them to God, but I want to. Would you pray for me? I'd like to use my rod, this staff for him. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all this morning? Lord, I need to use my gifts. Amen. Somebody else, be honest. 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 Amen. Somebody else, be honest with God. I have a talent, have ability, have a gift. Maybe even God's been speaking to you about this. And like Moses, you've been given excuses why you can't. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, but I've not been using my talents for God. Anybody else, would you pray for me? I've not been using my talents or the gifts that I've been given for God. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed, eyes closed. Piano's going to play. You raise your hand this morning. Would you come? The altar's open.